أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي من علينا بمحمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. وبأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله عز وجل في كتابه الكريم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: ألم تر كيف ضرب الله مثلا كلمة طيبة كشجرة طيبة أصلها ثابت وفرعها في السماء تؤتي أكلها كل حين بإذن ربه. صدق الله العلي العظيم. صلوات. Last night we talked about the verse Assalamu alayka Yabna Amir al-Mu'mineen, which was the starting of the entire verse, because the entire verse is Assalamu alayka Yabna Amir al-Mu'mineen Wabna Sayyid al-Wasiyyin. And we talked at length about Yabna Amir al-Mu'mineen. Inshallah, today we'll look at the second phrase, that is Wabna Sayyid al-Wasiyyin. But before going to the second phrase, there are some things that I think it is imperative to know before we go to Wabna Sayyid al-Wasiyyin. We just looked at one of the variables of Amir al-Mu'mineen. Another variable of Amir al-Mu'mineen is very clear, because Amir means one who commands. So Amir al-Mu'mineen is a person who is the commander of the faithful. This is the second variable of Amir al-Mu'mineen. And it is interesting to note that this title, although it was given to different people or they named themselves with this title, but it was specific to Imam Ali alayhi salam. There is an interesting riwayah that Allama Majlisi in Bihar mentions. He quotes Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam. Recite a salawat, please. One of the companions of Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam comes to him and says, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen. فَقَالَ مَهْ. Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam said, stop. فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَرْضَى بِهَذِهِ التَّسْمِيَ أَحَدٌ إِلَّا ابْتَلَاهُ بِبَلَاءِ أَبِي جَهْلٍ. For no one is happy with this, with being called Amir al-Mu'mineen, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish him with the calamity of Abi Jahl. Therefore, this Amir al-Mu'mineen, whenever we say Amir al-Mu'mineen, it is mukhtas and specific to Imam Ali alayhi salam. Even you find that a follower of Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, having realized that really the Aimma alayhi salam are the Umara of Mu'mineen, and thus says Amir al-Mu'mineen, but Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam says no, ma. Because such naming is, no one is happy thereby except that he is going to get the calamity of Abu Jahl. Now, sometimes you find that it is a paradox, because if you look at history, you find that Imam Musa al-Kadhim, alayhi alafu al-tahiyya wa al-thana', tells the then Abbasid Caliph as Amir al-Mu'mineen. Or you find that some of our Aimma alayhim salam calling the Abbasid Caliphs of their time as Amir al-Mu'mineen. This is not because they really meant that person is Amir al-Mu'mineen. This was because of taqiyya. They knew when to say Amir al-Mu'mineen and when not to say. They were in that state of difficulty. Inshallah, we'll look at some of these incidents and you'll come to realize how difficulty the Aimma alayhim salam faced during the Abbasid Caliph's time. Therefore, when we say "Assalamu alayka yabna Amir al-Mu'mineen," then we literally are telling Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam that because you are the product of Amir al-Mu'mineen, therefore you would bring them ilm. Because I said that Amir al-Mu'mineen, one of the variables of Amir al-Mu'mineen is that it comes from mayr, and mayr is jalb al-ta'am, bringing food. And I said, food in the language of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, as we saw the different riwayat, means ilm. So, yamiruhum al-ilm. Therefore, Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, being the product of the one who brings knowledge, also brings knowledge. And I said that the ratification of this is because they are intermediaries of Allah's grace. And therefore, they all bring knowledge to their followers and to the mu'mineen. And the second meaning is that Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam also has that qabiliyyah and capability of being Amir al-Mu'mineen, literally. Although he is not named as Amir al-Mu'mineen, but he does qualify with the status of being Amir al-Mu'mineen, that is, commanding to what is good and forbidding what is evil. وَابْنَ سَيِّدِ الْوَصِيِّينَ. The second phrase, وَابْنَ سَيِّدِ الْوَصِيِّينَ. وَصِيِّينَ is the plural of wasi, and wasi literally means a successor. And wasi comes from wasiya, and wasiya is a will that a person makes. When the father is nearly to die, he gives a wasiya, a will, to the son. This is wasiya. But here, when we talk about this wasi that comes originally from wasiya, this wasiya is wasiya ilahiya, that is a divine will, that is to entrust the affairs of the Muslims, the worldly, the affairs of the world as well as the hereafter, to the one who would come after the Holy Prophet. This is what is known as wasi in this context. Therefore, when we say wabna sayyidil wasiyyin, we are saying that peace be on you, O the son of the doyen of wasiyyin, master of the wasiyyin, leader of the wasiyyin. Sayyid literally means one who leads. Sada means one who led. If you look at the fi'l, the verb in the past, sada, that is seen alif dal, that means one who led. Sayyid is a person who leads. So sayyidul wasiyyin, when we tell that Imam Ali alayhi salam is Sayyid al-Wasiyyin, we mean that he is leaders of all the awsiya, all the successors of the past prophets. One of the reasons, and which is a very good reason behind this, is because the previous prophets had the capacity of bearing the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a limited way, in a limited form. But Qur'an is a message which is muhaymin. That is, it covers every other book, and it has more to cover. It is muhaymin. So the one who bears the message is also muhaymin. And Imam Ali alayhi salam, being the one who would bear the message after the Holy Prophet, should also have that heart which is muhaymin, so that he can get the message in his heart and convey to the people. This is the meaning of Imam Ali alayhi salam being Sayyidul Wasiyyin. And in another riwayah, we clearly find that even the Aimma alayhimus salam are known as Sayyidul Awsiya or Sadatul Awsiya. The terminology, not Sayyidul Awsiya, but Sadatul Awsiya, meaning that they are the leaders of the successors of the Holy Prophet. Now, when we say "Assalamu alayka yabna Amir al-Mu'mineen wa abna Sayyid al-Wasiyyin," as I said, this "ibn" again has two connotations. The first connotation is that he is the son of the leader of the successors. All right. The second connotation is that he is the product of the leader of the successors. So, one who is the product of the leader of the successors has the capacity and the ahliya to become a a real successor, a leader of the successor. The Holy Prophet is reported to have said, Ana Sayyidu Nabiyyin, I am the leader of all the prophets. Wa wasiyyi Sayyidu al-Wasiyyin, and my successor is the leader of all the successors. Wa awsiya'uhu, and his successors, that is the 11 Imams after Imam Ali alayhi salam, Sadatul Awsiya, they are the leaders of the successors. So from here we come to realize that there is an importance when we say Assalamu alayka yabna Amir al-Mu'minin wabna Sayyid al-Wasiyyin. We could mention something else, another name of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Imam Ali alayhi salam has several names, but this specific connotation is meant when we say wabna Sayyid al-Wasiyyin. Assalamu alayka yabna Fatimah al-Zahra Sayyidati Nisa' al-Alamin. This is the next verse of Ziyarat Ashura. Now, Yabna Fatima, Sayyidati Nisa' al-Alamin, has different discussions. Discussion number one is this verse that I've just quoted today in the beginning, and in fact I also quoted yesterday night, thinking that we would reach at this point, but we didn't get the opportunity to reach this point, is the verse أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ ضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا كَلِمَةً طَيِّبَةً. Don't you see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala coins an example, كَلِمَةً طَيِّبَةً, of a good word. كَلِمَة, literally we translate it as word, but if you look at the etymology of kalima, you find that it is not a word, it is a being. Anything which is a being is kalima. That is why Nabi Isa salamullah alayh in the Holy Quran is known as Kalimatullah. Or if you look at Biharul Anwar, you will find in certain places Aimma alayhimus salam are known as Kalimat. Why? Because kalima is a being. Alright? So, أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ ضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا كَلِمَةً طَيِّبَةً. Haven't you seen how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala coins an example? The example of a good word or of a good being, مَثَلُ كَلِمَةٍ طَيِّبَةً كَشَجَرَةٍ طَيِّبَةً, is like a good tree. أَصْلُهَا ثَابِتٍ, its roots are firm into the ground. وَفَرْعُهَا فِي السَّمَاءِ, and its branches spread towards the heavens. تُؤْتِي أُكُلَهَا كُلَّ حِينٍ بِإِذْنِ رَبِّي. Each and every moment it gives its produce by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala coins another similitude saying that وَمَثَلُ كَلِمَةٍ خَبِيثَةٍ كَشَجَرَةٍ خَبِيثَةٍ اجْتُثَّتْ مِنْ فَوْقِ الْأَرْضِ مَا لَهَا مِنْ قَرَارٍ. And the example of a bad being or a bad word, مَثَلُ كَلِمَةٍ خَبِيثَةٍ كَشَجَرَةٍ خَبِيثَةٍ, is like a bad tree. اِجْتُثَّتْ مِنْ فَوْقِ الْأَرْضِ, it is uprooted from the earth. مَا لَهَا مِنْ قَرَارٍ, there is no stability in it. These examples I cited, I took from the Holy Quran, so that I would like to show you a very important principle that many of us should realize when we say Assalamu alayka yabna Fatimah al-Zahra. One of the very important discussions is that how did a person like Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam come to be? A person would say that maybe, you see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala favored them, alright? Favored them. This is one reason. And there is no other reason. But if you look at our texts of Hadith and Quran, you find that no, there is a reason behind their purity. And there is a reason behind them being born as an abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is because of that pure origin that they have. Not only their immediate pure origin, but the chain of the pure origin is very important. In Ziyarat al-Warith, we say, أشهد أنك كنت نورا في الأصلاب الشامخة. I bear witness that you are a light in great loins, في الأصلاب الشامخة, not في الصلب الشامخ, not one loin, not from one father. في الأصلاب الشامخة والأرحام المطهرة, and from pure wombs, not one womb of Hazrat Zahra alayhi salam. But there is a chain of the wombs. That is what makes Imam Ali, Imam Hussein alayhi salam, to be Imam Hussein alayhi salam. That chain is needed. If you look at Dua Arafah, Imam Hussein alayhi salam clearly says this to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you took me from one womb to another. You took me through a journey from one womb to another. And you took me through a journey from one loin to another. That means that there is a chain that is needed so that that receptivity comes about. That when a person like Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam is born, he goes to sajda and he is known as Abdullah. We need a very good chain so that when Nabi Isa salamullah alayhi is born, he says, Inni Abdullah atani al-kitab. It's not just gifted just like that. No. A question would arise then, what about us? What about the others? Why weren't they gifted just like that? So that they can have receptivity from that time. But no. There is an origin which is needed. And this is this verse talks about that origin. مثل كلمة طيبة كشجرة طيبة أصلها ثابت وفرعها في السماء. This reminds me of once I thought of going to Mashhad in my young age, in my teenage. I remember once I was supposed to go to Mashhad, but there were some problems here and there, and I thought, let me do an istikhara for it. So the verse that came was this very verse. And the person said that, you know what this means? This means that Imam Rida alayhi salam is this mathalu kalimatin tayyiba, kashajaratin tayyiba, asluha thabit, wa far'uha fis sama' tu'ti ukulaha kulla heenin bi'ithni rabbi. Each and every moment he will give you the produce, whatever you want, whatever is good for you. Whatever is according to your receptivity and whatever is good for you. Because sometimes we ask the A'imma alayhimu salam for things which are not good for us. And the A'imma alayhimu salam, because they do not give it to us, we think that they do not love us or they do not like us and so on. But this is not the case. So this is very important. Now because we came to this, we should realize there is a question that comes about, that let's say a certain person asks that I was born from parents which were not good. They were not praying on time. They never fasted. And realization has dawned in my mind. And now I try to regret and say that why? Why am I مَثَلُ كَلِمَةٍ خَبِيثَ, for example. So now everything is over for me. I can never progress. This is something wrong. This is a stereotype that should be taken out from our minds. Because so long as you are in this earth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always gives you the opportunity to progress. So long as you have a volition in yourself, you can choose what is right and what is wrong. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does give you that opportunity. There is a riwayah which is very interesting. One of the grandsons of Marwan al-La'in, whose name was Sa'd, Imam Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salam, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, would call this man Sa'd al-Khair, Sa'd the good person, Sa'd al-Khair. So once it so happens that Sa'd comes weeping to Imam Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salam and says that he starts weeping near the Imam, and the Imam asks him, Sa'd, what's wrong? Why are you weeping so much? He says, I'm weeping because أنا من الشجرة الملعونة في القرآن. I am from the accursed tree that is mentioned in the Quran. The verse that mentions الشجرة الملعونة refers to Bani Umayyah. And I am from the Bani Umayyah. So the Imam says that أنت أموي منا أهل البيت. You are Amawi, but you are from us, the Ahl al-Bayt. Then he tells him, he narrates a very beautiful verse, quoting Nabi Ibrahim salamullah alayhi in the Quran, وَمَن تَبِعَنِي فَإِنَّهُ مِنِّي. Whosoever follows me is from me. Therefore, there is chance, there is opportunity. We can't say, قَدْ تَمَّ الْأَمْرِ. Now, we came from such and such parents, and therefore everything is finished. No, it's not over. You can be a مَثَلُ كَلِمَةٍ طَيِّبَةٍ for your children, and you can form a very powerful foundation for the future generation. Recite a salawat, please. Now, when we say "Wabna Assalamu alayka yabna Fatima al-Zahra, Sayyidati Nisa' al-Alamin." Again, the same connotations come into mind. I don't want to repeat that. One is that he is the offspring of Bi Fatima Zahra alayha salam, and the second is he is a product of Bi Fatima Zahra alayha salam. How she reared Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, that is how he came to be. This is clear. But there is another thing which we should try to understand, and that is, why use the word Fatima specifically? As-salamu alayka yabna bint Rasulillah would also be used. Why not that? Why Fatima in particular? If you look at our riwayat, you find that there is a reason behind Bi Fatima Zahra alayha salam being known as Fatima. And from there you come to realize that when we say yabna Fatima, there is a significance that we would like to narrate. Fatima, one of the wajhut tasmiya, one of the reasons why Bi Fatima Zahra alayha salam is known as Fatima, لِأَنَّ الْخَلْقِ فُطِمُوا عَن مَعْرِفَتِهَا أَيْ قُطِعُوا عَن مَعْرِفَتِهَا. Her status is so high, and her spiritual status is so high, that no human being can comprehend her status, save the Aimma alayhimus salam, and save the Holy Prophet in Imam Ali alayhis salam. Of course, this is not meant here, but when they say khalq, means beyond them, even the other prophets cannot comprehend her status. قُطِعُوا أَن مَعْرِفَتِهَا لِأَنَّ الْخَلْقَ فُطِمُوا أَي قُطِعُوا أَن مَعْرِفَتِهَا. Because of that, Bi Fatima Zahra alayha salam is known as Fatima. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Another reason why Bi Fatima Zahra alayha salam is known as Fatima according to riwayat is, لِأَنَّ اللَّهَ فَتَمَهَا وَفَتَمَ شِيعَتَهَا مِنَ النَّارِ. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala disengaged or disconnected her and her Shias from the fire of hell. Now of course, Shias don't mean one who just verbally follows her, or one who has a feeling of love and that's all. No, Shia, if you look at the root word of Shia, it comes from the word shuyu', that is to spread. Shia is actually spreading the message as he walks and as he talks. Shia is not a person who is a tabi' only, a follower only. No, Shia, he spreads the message as he goes. When he sits, he is spreading the message. When he talks, he is spreading the message. Wherever he is a Shia. He has this tashyi' and shuyu' that is going on. He spreads it. He doesn't keep quiet. Recite a salawat, please. Now, because this riwayah came about that the Holy Prophet said, إِنَّمَا سُمِّيَتْ إِبْنَةِ فَاطِمَةَ لِأَنَّ اللَّهَ فَطَمَهَا وَفَطَمَ شِيعَتَهَا مِنَ النَّارِ. In another riwayah it is, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لِأَنَّ اللَّهَ فَطَمَهَا وَفَطَمَ مَنْ أَحَبَّهَا مِنَ النَّارِ. And this engaged the one who loves her from the hellfire. Now because of this, I thought of just opening a discussion of love today. That this love of Ahlul Bayt alayhimu salam that we normally talk about, what is this kind of love? Because many people recite this in their talks, say this, that you know, hub of Ahlul Bayt alayhimu salam would really salvage a person and save him from the hellfire, and he would not be one who would be eternally banished in the hellfire. What is the meaning of this hub? This should be important for us to realize. If we look at other riwayat, we will come to realize what is the meaning of this hub. Recite the salawat, please. There is a riwayat that is narrated from Abu Hamza. That is narrated from Abu Ubaidah. He reports Imam Al-Baqir alayhi salam that he said, "Man ahabbana fahuwa minna ahlul bayt." Whosoever loves us, then he is from us, the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Abu Ubaidah asks, "May I be your ransom, ya Imam, from you the Ahlul Bayt? Whosoever loves you, is he really from you, the Ahlul Bayt?" Imam responds saying, "From us, I swear by Allah." Then he continues, and now he gives a mizan and a weighing scale. That this hub, what is its corollary? This hub that we are talking about, what is its corollary? He says, that have you not heard the statement of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam that then whosoever follows me, then verily he is from me. فَمَنْ تَبِعَنِي فَإِنَّهُ مِنِّي. Therefore, this hub that is talked about is not this ordinary hub that we have, this evanescent feeling that many of us experience, but it is that following that is needed from us. السلام عليك يا ثار الله وابن ثاره. This is the next verse. What is ثار? ثار literally means blood. There are the meanings to ثار, but the reason why I chose this is because our great scholars such as Allama Tabatabai, when they translate ثار, that they use blood. So when you translate ثار الله, that is the blood of Allah. So when you say السلام عليك يا ثار الله وابن ثاره, meaning salam be on you, or the blood of Allah and the offspring of the blood of Allah. Therefore Imam Ali عليه السلام is also blood of Allah, and Imam Hussein عليه السلام is also blood of Allah. Of course, here we should understand that no anthropomorphic qualities is pointed out, because we can't say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blood and He is a human being, or He is like a human being who has blood. No. And even this is not meant, that because the blood of Imam Hussein alayhi salam belongs to Allah, Therefore, من باب الملكية, that it belongs to Allah, that is why we call it ثار الله. وابن ثاره, again, the same thing. That because Imam Ali alayhi salam's blood and everything belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is why we call يَبْنَ ثَارِه. No, this is also not meant. What is the meaning of السلام عليك يا ثار الله وابن ثاره? There is a tradition, which is a lengthy tradition, that talks about how a person can come near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through nawafil. It is a hadith al-Qudsi whereby Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that my abd and my servant does not come near me with something more lovable to me than what I made compulsory on him. And then he continues, وَإِنَّهُ لَيَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّافِلَةِ, and he comes near to me through supererogatory acts, acts which are mustahab. حَتَّى أُحِبُّهُ, till I love him. فَإِذَا أَحْبَبْتُهُ, and when I love him, كُنْتُ سَمْعَهُ, I become his ears. وَبَصَرَهُ, and his eyes. This stage is known as Qurbun Nawafil, whereby a person comes to that stage whereby he listens to Allah and he tangibly experiences this, that whenever he is listening through Allah. Here, when we listen, we think that we are independent and we tangibly feel this, that we are independent. But the person who has soared with Nafila, not only Nafila prayers but Nafila acts all, comes to realize that whatever he is doing through Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, when he looks and visions, he visions through Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He knows that. But the great scholars say that there is a station which is higher than that, and that is Qurbul Fara'id. And in Qurbul Fara'id, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks now. The abd does not speak. Allah speaks, but through the abd. Allah sees, but through the abd. Allah visions, but through the abd. Allah fights, but through the abd. You must have heard this verse of the Holy Quran now and again. وَمَا رَمَيْتَ إِذْ رَمَيْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ رَمَى. You did not throw the arrow, O Muhammad, when you threw the arrow, but Allah threw the arrow. وَمَا رَمَيْتَ إِذْ رَمَيْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ رَمَى. This was the station of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. When we say that he is ثار الله, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala employs Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, who is in that state of mutma'inna, nafsul mutma'inna, whereby he is the place of mashiyatullah. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, he does it through Imam Hussein alayhi salam. But this should not come in a person's mind that then Allah needs Imam Hussein alayhi salam. No. Each and every moment, Imam Hussein alayhi salam gets his existence and subsistence from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But because he has acquired these characteristics and traits such that he does not have any will, only Allah's will works, that is why he is known as Thar Allah. Wabna Thareh. And Imam Ali alayhi salam similarly has this station, that he also, whatever he did, Allah did through him. This is known as, of course, terminologically, the mystics call it baqa ba'd al-fana, after extinction in the essence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you subsist by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are terminologies which my brothers and sisters may not try to understand or would not be able to understand. And therefore, let's leave these terminologies. But you have understood what we mean by Qurbul Fara'id and Qurbul Nawafil. And this verse, Thar Allah, the way Imam Ali alayhi salam says, Ana Aynullah, Ana Yadullah. All these things talk about this station, that Allah is doing everything but through the A'imma alayhim salam. Now, as usual, I say that every night, we are going to cover one of the merits of Ziyarat Ashura so that we can understand and we can realize how important this ziyara is. Therefore, today I will read one of the ahadith on this ziyara, and it is that same riwayah that I mentioned. I just pointed that Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam also has narrated this ziyara. Once Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam tells his companion Safwan about the ziyara and talking about its merits, says, قال أبو عبد الله تعاهد هذه الزيارة. Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam tells Safwan, O Safwan, تعاهد هذه الزيارة. Make it a point to recite this ziyara always. دائما. كما كان سلفنا الصالح من يقرأها كل يوم. The way those among us who are good before us would recite it every day. وَدْعُ بِهَذَا الدُّعَى and recite this dua. وَزُرْ بِهِ and do ziyarat with it. فَإِنِّي ضَامِنٌ عَلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى لِكُلِّ مَنْ زَارَ بِهَذِهِ الزِّيَارَةِ وَدَعَى بِهَذَا الدُّعَى مِنْ قُرْبٍ أَوْ بُعْدٍ أَنَّ زِيَارَتَهُ مَقْبُولَةٌ. For I guarantee from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that whosoever recites this ziyara from near or from far, أَنَّ زِيَارَتَهُ مَقْبُولَةٌ, that his ziyarat would be accepted, وَسَعْيُهُ مَشْكُورٌ, and his efforts would be rewarded, وَسَلَامُهُ وَاصِلٌ, and his salam would reach Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, غَيْرْ مَحْجُوبٌ, it would not be covered, وَحَاجَتُهُ مَقْضِيَّةٌ, and whatever hajat and whatever need he has from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's going to be accepted. بَالِغًا مَا بَلَغَتْ, whatever the haja may be. So this is one of the merits of this ziyara, that whatever haja you have, whatever need that you have, when you recite this ziyara, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would accept this need. But of course, this should come in our minds that sometimes whatever we need is not good for us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not give us because He knows this is not good for us. And secondly, as I said, that our etiquette should not only be reciting this ziyara for the needs that we have, but we should try to personify ourselves with the ziyara, as the purpose of ziyara is to become near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. والحمد لله رب العالمين.